Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to go way out to God's country and talk a little farm and ranch with Mike and Tim from the Swand Land Company. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation, especially if you're a little politically nerdy, if you're a little interested in the intricacies around land. You'll probably enjoy this as much as I did. So enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hey, Mike.
Lee, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm ready to talk about big tracts of dirt and land. And are you guys ALCs? Are y'all part of the Realtors Land Institute?
No.
How come?
You know, what's interesting, Lee, is it does a great job for people in their networking, but you know, we stay awful busy just as it is. And with the connections we have and the referrals we get, and it's something that we've looked in, continue to consider, but just haven't been able to slow down to really get it done.
Well, that's an excuse. So you're saying that you're too good to hang out with us. Okay.
No, that's not it. It's finding time in the day.
Yeah. So you should definitely look into it because it's really not that big of a universe. It's less than 2,000 realtors, but it's the ones who actually understand land transactions, which if for nothing else, that camaraderie is fantastic, even when you're busy. So anyway, to my listeners and my viewers, a little bit about Swan's crowd and where you guys are located. What's your spaces, how long you've been doing, and give them a little bit of the background.
Well, I'll start and then let Tim fill in the blanks. But I started in 2001, winter of 2001. So I've been in farm and ranch real estate for about 22 years now. Grew up on a commercial cow-calf, a cattle operation, a cattle ranch, and then went off and got in the professional world for 15 years, and then came back and got into this the winter of 2001, 2002. I started out with several partners that we were based in out of Utah. And had several partners that I worked with and then went out on my own in 2012. We specialize in farm and ranch and large, complicated transactions. Really, what we're built for is big agricultural cattle ranches, farms, recreational properties, high dollar places with either complicated components of the transaction or complicated buyers or complicated sellers. That's really what our business has been built around. I was a one-man show here in Montana for a short period of time, and Tim and I actually went to college together and been friends for a long time, and I'll let him pick up from there, but it's kind of where we got started.
I've been in real estate just a little bit longer than Mike, but pretty similar timeline. I started in the resort world in Montana after meeting my wife, and we had a real estate company up in Big Sky working on a project up there, and had some unfortunate market timing with some developments that refinanced through Lehman Brothers, who a few people have heard of. So anyway, there was a roller coaster ride there that nobody really wanted to get on, and had the opportunity to come on board with Mike. Gosh, I think it's been about 10 years now.
Yeah.
Transition more into the kind of farm ranch, recreational properties. It's really been a blessing. It's been a fun ride. We get the opportunity to go some great places and work with some great people and really enjoy it. Most days it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, it's a little different kind of real estate than the grind of residential. So I got to ask you a question, though. You mentioned big ag, Mike. Are you talking about big ag like corporate ag? Or are you talking about big ag like big family farms? Because that's obviously two different sectors altogether in farm and ranch right now.
All of the above, really. We have offices, actually, our home base here in Montana, Lee, here in Bozeman, which is right now the epicenter of real estate in the Rocky Mountain West. I mean, we've been discovered. Tim and I grew up here when it was a small, sleepy mountain town, ski town. It's exploded. So we're in a good location. However, we do have offices, two offices in Wyoming. We also have an office outside of Salt Lake City. And we cover the territory from Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Utah, all the way out to Nebraska. And so we cover a fairly wide swath, put a lot of miles on our pickups. We drive a lot. We go to where our clients want us to go. And that involves oftentimes, as you said, you know, the large corporate people that want to get engaged, whether it's in large working cattle ranches. We'll go and do assessments on properties for prospective clients and also for sellers. You know, really what we do is assess those properties, look at them, look at their viability in the market, assess how they're, you know, what their value may or may be in today's market, which is ever changing. Just with the recent geopolitical unrest, I mean, that turns our market upside down. So a lot of that is being able to communicate that with our clients and staying on top of that. So it's a very dynamic and fluid market that's ever changing. And really what our biggest challenge is staying up on what's happening in the market. So, a little different than our residential colleagues, you know, it's just different.
Scale, right? And you think about the family farm. So I grew up on 400 acres and we had beef cattle for a while, but it's entirely different where you guys are, because 400 acres out there is like, oh, what a nice backyard. You know, where I am, it's huge. And then you look at the impact on a family farm of the equity growth that's happened, especially in areas where the refugees have come from. We call them economic refugees in North Carolina, California, New York, New Jersey, come to North Carolina. Y'all have seen the same thing in Bozeman with people looking for a lower tax environment, just a different feel altogether, which drives up values, which is why there is a lot of concern in that family farm sector right now of the tax proposals in DC of taxing unrealized equity. So I bring that up because I wonder what you're hearing from the clients you serve and the prospects you're talking to. Are they concerned about the possibility of having to sell because they don't have the cash to pay unrealized gains on a family holding they may have had for generations? If you don't have the cash to pay the tax, you're going to be forced to sell. It's a whole interesting dynamic that I think is really centered on what you guys do, because it's a different...
Tim, I'll let you tackle that and I'll chime in.
I haven't seen the concerns as much unrealized gains in the farm and ranch world, but where we see that come into play extensively is in the estate tax. You know, if you have a generation that passes away and it transitions to the next generations, it oftentimes triggers tax bills that essentially force the sale of the ranch, which are really challenging transactions to be involved in. But yeah, it would be a complete debacle if they started taxing unrealized gains in the farm and ranch world. It would essentially dismantle all of them.
You know, the other thing along those lines, Lee, is a lot of what Tim and I do is educate our clients. I mean, so much of what we do is sitting down with our prospective clients and educating them on what's about to take place. I mean, we have multi-generational farms or ranches that we're dealing with, sometimes families that have owned these properties for over 100 years, which is unheard of. This is the first time they've ever gone through anything like this. And they'll call us thinking, okay, we're to the point where we want to sell. Let's interview brokers. Let's sit down and talk to brokers and get a listing agreement signed and move forward. Where oftentimes we have to go back and say, we need to push the brakes here a little bit. Pump the brakes. Let's slow down. We need to get you with a good tax advisor. We need to get you with a good accountant, a good attorney, and make sure our corporate structure is such that we can maximize your in-pocket money when the sale actually takes place, that we've done proper gifting, that we've basically looked at every aspect possible to minimize their tax impact. And sometimes that might take a year to, you know, take care of all these internal complexities that can be set up, because they're busy making a living. They're busy raising a family. They're busy managing their property. Time often to sit down and slow down enough to sit with their tax advisors, sit with their attorney and do some structuring and create that foundation so we can minimize their tax. So that's a lot of what Tim and I do, is let's find out what you've done and what you haven't done so we can make sure that that's set up properly before we embark upon the sales process. And like I said, oftentimes that can take up to a year, 2 years to get all that done before they're even ready for us.
So if you're a regular realtor watching this, first of all, you should know that the kind of transactions we're talking about here are wildly different than a traditional residential transaction, both for time frame and for the amount of expertise needed. So before you decide to go take a listing like this, you better do what Mike's talking about and have that list of professionals ready to even go with you to talk about the tax implications and talk about all the different moving pieces, because these are really big and they're really more commercial transactions than they are residential, even if somebody lives on that farm, because it's complex. And I would also say to a consumer watching this, if you are hiring a broker, you better have a broker that says, let's talk to the tax advisor, let's talk to the lawyers, let's make sure our legal structure is correct before you move forward. Anybody that wants you to sign and roll, you should be really wary about.
Right.
And I'm curious from the two of y'all, as you do talk to these families, and obviously you've got multiple generations and a lot of scenarios, and it is a long sales cycle because it could be a long time before anything happens if it does. What is the most common concern you're seeing with your sellers right now as they're trying to figure out what to do next? Are they more concerned about tax implications? Is it geopolitical? Is it how the family is going to navigate the financial dollars? Tell us what you're hearing from the public.
You know, interestingly, on a lot of these legacy places, one of the primary drivers is the ranch operation going to continue? You know, is somebody going to be able to step in and run this in the way that we have and kind of continue that ranching operation, be a pillar member of the community? Oftentimes, these owners have been in communities for a century, and how it impacts the neighborhood really matters to them. You know, I think taxes and the bottom line always come into play. But interestingly enough, it rarely leads the discussion. It's so much more about kind of how it's going to transition. What can we do to help make sure this next group is successful and keep the community going and keep the ranch as part of the, you know, not only the lifestyle, but, you know, oftentimes they've got a significant number of employees essentially become families on these operation, well, family on these operation, but with families themselves. And so, you know, kind of that holistic view of how does this impact the community, I think would be the primary thing that I hear.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because there is an emotional piece to this. And that emotion is the caretaker mentality of where somebody lives and obviously their family name and their legacy. I remember when I lived in Iowa, was at the time when the family farms were starting to get rolled up in a big way. And there was a huge situation in the hog farming with Smithfield coming in. I'm from North Carolina originally. And so Smithfield is from here, but they had been purchased by a Chinese conglomerate. And then they were rolling up all these smaller family farms in Iowa. And that was one of the biggest concerns, was we don't sell to something that's going to destroy the community, destroy the legacy, be worse for the hogs, be worse for the environment, but we need to sell. And so they wind up in that back and forth situation of what do we do? And so I'm curious as to, in the environment we're in fourth quarter of 2023, where we are seeing a lot of foreign entities that want to purchase farmland here, how do you help somebody navigate that if the best offer and the best dollars are coming from an entity that they may not be comfortable with? Are they preferring to hold back? Do they have the legal right to do so? How do they navigate that? And what are some best practices you could share for maybe good questions to ask?
We spend an incredible amount of time with families talking through these very issues. Our logo for our company is from the kitchen table to the closing table. So many of these conversations happen right at the kitchen table. We spend hours upon hours upon hours with families having just those conversations. We like to make sure that if there are kids involved, any of the family members that are part of that ownership structure, even if we can bring in the attorney, we sit and we listen. We're going to listen to what their goals are, what their objectives are, what are their concerns, and listen, take notes, and try to get thorough grasp and ask a lot of leading questions. So we have a good background and a good understanding of what those goals are. Where are their concerns? Where does that money eventually going to go? What avenues are they going to direct that? Those are hard decisions. Those are hard conversations to have. But a lot of what Tim and I do are sitting down and getting those things out on the table early in the process to give those sellers time to digest it, to think about it. Oftentimes, those are multiple conversations. That's not a one and done. This may happen over the term of a year, 18 months, 2 years, where we're sitting down with the family multiple times having these exact same conversations. That spectrum can swing the full gamut too. Over my dead body, we're going to sell to the corporate neighbor to, at the end, it's like, you know, the corporate neighbor's check's going to cash when the day's done. They're going to give us the flexibility to transition off the farmer ranch on our time. And that has value. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. It's so different for each and every client. And that's, like I said, what we have to spend so much time up front, so we are crystal clear on what those clients' goals and objectives are early, so we can serve them accordingly.
Part of the country where you're operating, we're seeing the water wars kicking up at a different level, as well as the conflict between free range and controlled range. Where do you see those wars going in the next few years? I mean, the Waters of the U.S. Act has been basically a ping pong game back and forth about what's going to happen there. And I'm just curious, because it impacts your business in such a real way, because it impacts head of livestock and it impacts full operations. And again, back to employment and everything else. And what are you seeing?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. You know, the old adage that whiskey fighting is alive and well.
I heard that, but I'm stealing it. That's amazing.
You have it? Yeah. Yes. Use it as your, use it as your own.
North Carolina. We just drink whiskey.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, understanding the water and water rights in Montana has been going through a process of adjudicating water rights that started in the 1970s. They thought they'd have it wrapped up in about a decade. They think we've got about 20 years left. Anyway, at the end of the day, you know, hopefully it will be a beneficial process that basically defines what everybody actually has, what their ability to use is. It's a complex, you know, environment, and it's something that people need to fully understand. And that's another level of expertise, you know, that we always recommend. There's very, very good water right attorneys. And if there's water rights involved on properties, you know, we always recommend that they get the best legal counsel they can on where they stand, because you're right, it really impacts these operations.
So you have a separate disclosure for water rights with your farm and ranch properties, because that's not something we have in North Carolina. So I'm always interested in what other areas are doing, because we have mineral rights, oil, mineral, natural gas, but not water related. So you have legal water rights disclosures?
There is a water right disclosure as part of the real estate world, but it really centers on the fact that the state of Montana is going through adjudication process, and those water rights that are being conveyed, you know, through the Department of Natural Resources may change based on final adjudication. So we make sure and disclose that and try and do our level best to communicate, you know, where they stand now, but the fact the DNRC at some point may change those.
Are you a real estate professional and struggling to make videos? I know you're watching mine, because that's easier than making your own, but you really do wish you had your own YouTube channel, and you wish that phone would ring and you would not have to go out and like people that you don't like online. You'd rather have them talk to you. Or do you have a YouTube channel and the videos aren't doing anything and you don't know how they're missing the mark and you haven't found those amazing neighbors who really would love you? Well, you should know that my friend Karen Carr, she teaches you how to make your YouTube videos a true evergreen sales funnel. She will teach you how to make videos that are simple. Aha, you don't have to start from scratch. She will give you the framework. You don't need bells and whistles. You don't need a big fancy videographer. And the best part is, the framework she gives you gets prospects in your zip code calling you when they're ready to buy or sell. And that doesn't happen just today. It happens for the long haul, because YouTube is an evergreen strategy. And here's the craziest part about it. She kicks this off with a 3-day challenge. So you can carve out 3 days, and it's not the whole day, by the way. It's just a little bit of time and 3 days in a row. The cost is $27. So $9 and $9 and $9, or basically, because of inflation, a pumpkin spice latte, a pumpkin spice latte, and a pumpkin spice latte. So in exchange for 3 of your overpriced, amazing, yummy fall beverages, you could get all the information you need to jack your business for next year. She'll teach you how to set the channel up. She'll teach you how to get viewers to stay with you once they find you. She'll teach you where to do the research, which is probably the best thing I learned from her, to be honest. And she's going to teach you how to make videos that actually create conversation. And all of this is going to jack you in Google without spending a lot of money on Google AdSense. Shh, don't tell Google I said that. But what you should know is that this hot deal challenge right here, $27, 3 days with more information than you can shake a stick at, is at videobossagent.com/Lee Brown, because that's a special deal for y'all. So Video Boss Agent, so videobossagent.com/Lee Brown, one word, to get signed up. I've taken the class more than once. I'm promising y'all, it is absolutely worth it. And if you're looking for the answer to make 2024 a different kind of real estate business, this is exactly where you want to be. I'll see you there.
Well, we call it Diener, which y'all should probably call it Diener. That's much fancier than DNR. And they love it when we call them Diener. But they know who we're talking to. So obviously, I took y'all down a wonky policy path, because I'm fascinated by the impacts that so many people aren't paying attention to, what it's going to do to individual property owners over time. And glad y'all are experts on all of those things. But of course, the premise of the show is the crazy things that happen in real estate. And in 20 plus years, whether it's on the resort side or the farm and ranch side, I know y'all have seen something that makes y'all go pick up that glass of whiskey and have a laugh. And so I'm dying to know, what's the big story out of the Swan Land world that makes y'all say, I never thought I'd see this?
How much time do we have, Lee? What is
exactly
this?
You get that glass of whiskey and we'll just sit back.
We're not fighting. We do have it in stock. We have it in stock. Yeah.
So who's going first? Tim looks really squirmy now. So he's like moving around over there. It's a good one. But no names. We don't use names here. We just talk about scenarios.
Gosh, you know, you're right. At some point, you feel like you've probably seen it all. Definitely. And then something will show up and you're like, yeah, I never really anticipated that, you know, from showing up at closings. And you think maybe there'll be trouble with the financing. But I've been to closings where the banks, you know, the 10, 12 years ago, when there was so much upheaval in the financial world, and we couldn't close because the bank that was to receive the payoff had disappeared.
Oh, now there's an angle we don't talk about ever. We talk about the borrower not being able to get the funds.
Yeah.
Get paid off because Lehman Brothers went poof.
Yeah, exactly. There's nobody there to accept the funds. And, you know, you're like, wow, I hadn't anticipated that one. But you do. It's amazing how many different things will show up along the way. And I think having the ability to, you know, a little bit of gray hair in this business goes a long way. You can kind of, you know, not get too emotional. And I think you struck on it early on in this conversation that these are emotional decisions, not only for the sellers, but the buyers. And having a little bit of experience sure helps kind of take a little bit of the peak and valley out of some of that, trying not to be reactive and just keeping things moving forward. But I was thinking about, what I was squirming around was, it wasn't so much on an actual closing. I was showing a ranch a few years ago, and we had a very cold snap in Montana. Sometimes the houses on these places get a little ranchy, as you like to maybe say. Anyway, they had lost a handful of their baby goats in this cold snap, just had them laying in a back bedroom.
In the house,
yeah. You know, and they had brought some of the other livestock in. You know, there was chickens running all over the house.
But your chickens should totally get to come inside. I would let mine inside.
Yeah, exactly. It was a super nice couple that I knew pretty well. And not surprisingly, the wife was like, let's go have some lunch. I think we're done.
You know what? I'm going to let my husband see this episode because he tells me we don't need goats. And I think we do need goats. And I'm going to let him know that I won't bring baby goats in the house to die. We will leave them apart. And so that should
Oh, they didn't die in the house. And they were just leaving them in the cold room in the back until they had a chance to, you know, dispose of them properly.
Oh, listen here, I will leave all the goats outside all the time. I promise. If you just let me have baby goats, they can live in the yard.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to eat the tires off your car and the siding off your house.
They're amazing. They're cute.
They are cute. So you can do yoga with them, apparently.
But I don't think that's the kind of goats. I want the goats that are not that docile, that struggle over the top of the rock. Mike, what are you thinking of over there in all your years of farming and ranching? What's the scenario you saw that was better than chickens and dead goats in the house?
Well, I tell you, just to go back a little bit on what Tim said, the gray hair, I've really grown to appreciate it, Lee.
You don't have any
more? Tim said, oh my gosh, it's from rubbing it off through all the challenges that we've gone through over the years. But you know, the one thing that I really appreciate and respect and on a daily basis is the people I get to work with in our small boutique company. We collaborate almost on a daily basis. We're sharing information. We're bouncing problems off each other. We're trying to collectively come to solutions and resolutions for our client. And we ultimately want to do what's best for them and however we need to get there. And that's really what I appreciate about what we've created together as a team. Is that openness and that dialogue that's ongoing and that problem solving ability. Because yeah, we see a lot. It's just a great group to work with. I really appreciate that. I think looking at that, you know, one of the ones that was on the road yesterday thinking about that very questionly. And I think one of the things is we go back to, you know, Tim and I were chatting with you earlier about dealing, you know, being able to serve clients, multi-generational agricultural properties where family's been on these places for sometimes over 100 years. Well, family members come and family members go. And, you know, in the 1800s, the closest place to take care of Grandpa Ed was right there on the ranch. And so oftentimes we'll get far down the path of transaction. And a day before, or sometimes even the day of, the seller will say, oh, by the way, we have a small cemetery that headstones of our deceased relatives that are up on the hillside overlooking the valley. We want to make sure that we're able to go up and see them on a regular basis. And it's like, okay. And so you have a buyer, an out-of-state, high net worth individual that's buying this property. And then you need to sit down with them and explain to them oh, by the way, we know you're buying this, you know, 50, 60,000 acre ranch, but there happens to be a cemetery up on the hill in the South 40 over here that we got to figure out a way that this family can come back and visit Great Aunt Edith and Grandpa Ed every Labor Day weekend or 4th of July. And so things like that can pose some real challenges. But I think the cemetery, that's now on our checklist, Lee, that we have added to our multi-page list of questions when we sit down with sellers. Are there any family members that may be buried somewhere on the ranch that we need to be aware of and handle appropriately? So I think that's one of those that always rears its head. Not always, but occasionally rears its head and always gets us chucked when we come back to the office saying, oh, we got another cemetery issue that we're dealing with.
So if I'm reading one of your listing descriptions and it says quiet neighbor, literally, I guess, and they're not going anywhere. But I'm just curious, from a realtor's perspective, is that an easement that you grant in perpetuity? Is it a shared driveway? How do you grant access over the long haul to your dead family over on the hilltop?
Well, a lot of times it's the buyer saying, well, how many generations are we going to do this? Is this a single generation? Is this in perpetuity? What are we talking about here? And it's a whole nother negotiation. I've had deals on the verge of multi-million dollar deals on the verge of blowing up over dealing with just that. And it's sitting down, having, again, those hard conversations with your clients, the sellers, on how we're going to deal with this. We just had one this last winter, actually, that we dealt with. Wonderful family, been on the property multiple generations. And we had to walk through this. And those can be challenging. But like Tim said, that's where the gray hair comes in. Sitting down and is sitting at the negotiation table and coming up with a solution and problem solving your way through it.
But it's also that collaboration you talked about before. I mean, you guys have referenced how you support each other. And I think that's one of those realities of real estate life that's just not expressed often enough, is none of us knows everything or everybody. And so it could be, I hate to say everybody now that we're talking about graveyards, but when you start realizing that there might be a county commissioner you need to talk to before something transitions, but you don't know that county commissioner, but another realtor does, that's an opportunity to say, I'm dealing with this, can you help? And our profession, by and large, says, absolutely, what do you need? Here's a phone number, how do I help? And I kind of wish the public knew that about us more, that this is exactly how we like to do business, because we know it's a better outcome and it's definitely more solvable and keeps everybody happier. Now I can't say anything without thinking about five graves on a hilltop. So thanks. Keep everybody happier, including the person who's in charge of doing the weed eater around the footstones and the headstones. But before I let you guys off the show, what's the one message you would like to give to the real estate world or to the regular world about farm and ranch that keeps you going, even in economic uncertainty, geopolitical uncertainty, buyer and seller freaking out over what to do next? What keeps you in this? Oh, Tim's laughing good about that. This should be good. Are there golden handcuffs we haven't seen in your office? I see.
Oh yeah, those aren't going to show up here. Yeah, it's the ankle bracelet that I'm scratching below my desk.
Hey man, the Montana Real Estate Commission says you can have the right to gainful employment.
Yeah, you know, I was chuckling just going back to that list that's ever evolving on our due diligence checklist and the, you know, the ranch cemetery. You know, the other one that's on that list that you probably haven't heard of, that occasionally we will have a missile silo on some of these places. That's one of those that you don't often think about. Typically very, very quiet. You know, it's just a chain link fence and enclosure. But every so often, they'll be actually working on them. And there'll be like 12 Humvees parked in front of it. And it's just an ant farm. And if you happen to show up on that day, it raises a lot of flags for potential buyers. Otherwise, you just drive by them and people don't think anything of them. But anyway, that's kind of the fun, the new stuff you come across. It keeps it interesting. I think Mike hit it on the head earlier when he was referencing sort of the opportunity to interact with some of the folks we get to interact with, both on the selling and the buying side. Typically just tremendous, you know, people. We develop some really good relationships. They become friends and we get the opportunity to, you know, maybe go catch a fish together or eat a steak and watch a football game. And, you know, I think that's what keeps you in it. It's the people.
So that means if somebody watching this is a past client of Tim's and you did not notice the fish on the wall behind him, the man is wanting to be taken fishing. I like that subtle request for somebody to come get you and take you fishing. I caught it. I'm with you
yeah.
there.
It's not subtle, Lee. Yeah, I lead with that, you know, right after the handshake.
Got the hip waders in the back of your truck. You're like, I got my hip waders.
He does. He does.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Fully equipped. Oh, I travel with it. Yeah, you bet. You got to be ready.
All right, Mike, the Swan name is going to live on in your community for a long time. So in addition to making your family name look good, why do you stay in this?
It's the clients. People we get to serve in this process are fantastic. And like Tim said, they become lifelong friends. We go through battle together. It's a lot of that. There's a lot of emotion. You're there to experience and feel that emotion when they're going through selling a multi-generation agricultural property or a property that's been in their family. So you become a part of the family. You really do. And that's special in a lot of ways. The other thing is they're putting such a tremendous responsibility on our shoulders. This is a family that, you know, many of these families have built this empire over the course of multiple generations, and they're putting this on our shoulders to take care of them. And that's a huge, huge responsibility that we take extremely seriously. And I think what I enjoy about the customers and the clients that we get to engage with, but I'm so proud of our staff. You know, we have 8 agents in our office. Every one of us is on the same page, lock, step, and barrel, that we are here to serve our clients first and foremost. And I think that's why, we have so much fun together. Our families are good friends. We collaborate together. I'm just really proud of what we've built as a team and how we represent our customers and the job that we do. And it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's been a great ride, and I'm glad I'm able to be on it with these other folks.
So basically, Tim wants to go. You want to get invited over for supper. That's what I'm
hearing. There you go.
That you'd like to be fed. Okay. Because I can add all those things up.
Or go horseback, you know, go ride horses or go work cattle or something like. Tim's the fishing guy. I'm the cattle and the horseback and the.
Wait a minute. You want to go work the cattle for them? Because we used to have this big cow hole in the fence, and this one stupid cow would get out of the cow hole, stand in the road, and basically look at the traffic like this. So that's what you want to do? Is that your job?
It's therapy.
Guys,
that's right. There's no extra charge for having a little fun.
I mean, you can't laugh about it. What are you going to do? Be serious
exactly.
all the time? We can't.
Exactly.
Because what we do is really important. And I'm very grateful to y'all for doing real estate in a holistic way where you're really paying attention to all the moving pieces and taking care of people first and foremost. So thank you for coming on the show and giving us a little bit of insights into the farm and ranch world. What is the best way for any viewer or listener to reach out to you if they have a need for your services?
Our website is www.swanlandco.com. You can find out all about us, our history, the properties we represent, bios on each one of the agents and the areas that we serve. But our website is just recently renovated. It's dynamic. I'd encourage you to go to swanlandco.com to check us out.
And if it says quiet neighbors, people, now you know what that means. So just be prepared to grant an easement in perpetuity. Guys, thank you so much. And for everybody watching, if you learned something or you have something interesting to say, say it in the comments below. Hit the like on the video. And most importantly, show up next time for some more conversations about the crazy side of real estate. Thank you.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.